The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:20pm. Mick Norton and Craig Forsyth will be the first team into the studio. Then from 6pm, Stuart Beasley and Sean Quinn will be staying live for extended coverage of the Breeders' Cup. We have four grade ones to look forward to in Santa Anita on Friday evening. We've also got Newmarket, Uttoxeter and Wetherby in the afternoon, and Wolverhampton and Dundalk in the evening. So much racing, I can barely fit it on the jingle. And joining me in the studio to look ahead to some of the action is Mr. Craig Forsyth. How are you, Craig?
I'm excellent, Mark. Yeah, really looking forward to this weekend. Some cracking stuff. And Breeders' Cup weekend, you know, always fantastic. But we do have some really good domestic action as well, with obviously the highlight over the whole weekend being the Charlie Hall Chase. It quickly comes around, Mark.
It does. We've got first day of the Charlie Hall meeting at Wetherby to look forward to on Friday. Craig's picked out the first three races on the card there to take a look at. We'll move on to those in due course. But as you mentioned, Craig, we've also got the Breeders' Cup. We've got plenty of other good racing as well. We've got Newmarket on Friday. We've got Ascot's first jumps fixture on Saturday afternoon as well. And you arrive on the back of Newcastle beating Man City in the Cup. You must be on top of the world right now.
I am, Mark. It was pretty hard to get to sleep last night, to be honest. I travelled down yesterday and went across to the Etihad, and with my son, we drove back to Leeds last night, and there just wasn't a better feeling in the world driving back across the M62 with a very happy 7-year-old. And I have to say, the driver was just as happy as well.
Yes, good stuff. Let's look quickly at the Charlie Hall as well, the Charlie Hall Chase, which takes place on Saturday. Good lineup at the moment. Salviniaco Conti is the 11-10 market leader. Takan Asul is 7-2, 5-1 for Rocky Creek. Minora is 6s. Harry Topper, last year's winner, is 8-1. The Giant Bolster, also 8s. Medemi is 10s, 12s for Double Ross, 16s for Wayward Prince. And Ballypatrick is 66-1. A good renewal of the Charlie Hall this year, Craig.
Yeah, it is, Mark, definitely. Silviana Conti, you know, the high-class contender in the race. But with all the Paul Nicholls horses this year, it's just been a little bit left to work on. And will he be at his peak for this race? Or, you know, is this a stepping stone towards the Betfair Chase? So that's always the doubt. And of course, Paul Nicholls also has Rocky Creek. Again, a similar scenario with that horse. So with question marks hanging over those two, I think Takwin Dusalil, even though he was a little bit disappointing on his return, it has to be said, I think stepping up to this trip could be the key to him. He would want a little bit of rain between now and the time of the race on Saturday. He's always best with some give underfoot. But I think this is his chance, stepping up into this quality. You know, the race he won at Cheltenham last year hasn't worked out so far, but, you know, there's still plenty of time for that to happen. And I think this is a good chance for John Joe Neal's horse on Saturday in the Charlie Hall Chase. But, you know, Harry Topper, last year's winner, 8-1 with William Hill, he's another one that could go well. Double Ross went particularly well this time last year for Nigel Twiston Davis. And Wayward Prince ran an almighty race 12 months ago. He was a real good performer. And at 16-1, you know, he's the one that will be primed for the race. So a good renewal, as you say.
Yeah. I know it's said quite often, but barring Ballypatrick at 66, you could really fancy any of the others, couldn't you? So an open race as well. Takanda Soy was 7-1 earlier in the week, now 7-2. I know there's been the field's cut up a little bit, but it's a bit of a fact-finding mission as well with him, isn't it, to see if he stays the trip.
I think he will. You know, what we've seen of him, he has shaped like a stayer. His jumping is more of a concern than stamina, to be honest. He needs to get into a rhythm. He's quite a tall type, and, you know, will Wetherby suit, you know, the stiff offences, but if he gets into an early rhythm, I think he'll stay the trip. I think, you know, he's been really crying out for this type of trip, and, you know, I particularly have seen him as a future Gold Cup winner. Mm. Just when he just brushes up that jumping, and, you know, he's still got a lot of time on his side. He's a relatively young horse.
Yeah. How do you play at the moment then, Craig?
Not a lot of value left in the price, as you say, Mark. Halved this week from 7-1 to 7-2. But looking for a horse that is the most likely winner of the race, I think it would have to be John Joe Charge, Taquin du Soleil.
Okay. Taquin du Soleil then in the Charlie Hall. Let's concentrate on day one of the meeting, though. That takes place on Friday. And we start here in the 110, which is a National Hunt Novices Hurdle of 2.5 miles, a Class 4 Novice Hurdle. And we have a field of 15 of them here. And Be My Present, whilst there is quite a big field, is likely to be one of the main players in the betting here, Craig.
Yeah, you know, horse comes here in good health, a wide margin winner at Hexham last time, Mark, and does have the penalty to carry, though. You know, you look back at previous winners of this race and there's been some notable types. Tidal Bay won it in 2006, and African Gold won it in 2012 as a four-year-old. I don't think we've got anything of that class in the field this time around, but as you said, Mark, I think James Hewitt's horse is the one to beat. Definitely improved for the change of yards from Rose Dobbins, and was a 25 length winner at Hexham last time. Got the £7 penalty here, but being a mare, you know, basically brings her back to the same weight as her rivals. I think an interesting horse is Pay the King, an 18,000 purchase from the Paul Nichols yard for Mickey Hammond.
Okay,
seen this horse last year at Cheltenham at the November meeting. And he ran 9.5 lengths behind Home Run in the Amateur Riders Handicap Hurdle on Sunday off a mark of 116. He wasn't fit that day, and he looked a nice type. As we know and I've seen, it's been well documented that Paul Nichols has had a major clear out of his horses this year. So I wouldn't read too much of a negative the fact that, you know, Pay the King has gone to Mickey Hammond. And you know, 18,000 was a fair price, and I think he's found a suitable starting point for this horse. And you know, you look back at some of his form, the likes of Chepstow, he got within 6.5 lengths at Anacotti, which was a real good effort. So I'm interested to see how he performs for Mickey Hammond. He is sure to win races with Pay the King this season, but as you say, I think James Hewitt's horse is the one they all have to beat the mare. Be My Present.
Okay. So how would you do that? Would you go Pay the King each way then and take a bit of a chance on that if it's an each way price?
Yeah, you know, I think it's probably still a watch and brief with Pay the King, see how he goes for a start. You know, there's not a lot of other real strong contenders. William Money, better known as a chaser, actually has his first start over hurdles. You know, was a 120 chaser, but you know, after 541 days off, will he strip? Chris Grant's horses are in very good shape. He started the season well, which is a plus, but with everything, you know, pointing to Be My Present, I think you'd have to really play her. I think she's the one that is primed for tomorrow, where others will have their sights set races in a few weeks' time or and further on.
Okay, moving on to the 140 at Weatherby next. This is a Class 3 handicap hurdle of the extended 2 miles, and we have a field of 13 of them here, and it's quite an open field here, but I suppose Sleeping First will attract quite a bit of attention, given the fact that he arrives here in winning form, won his last three.
Yeah, the handicap has had a big say on his chances now. You know, he's been well placed by James Hewitt, but he's gone up another £11 for that good victory at Kelso last time, and you know, I think coming here off a mark of 122, Mark may just find him out. I think the handicapper may just have him where he wants him now, but he's a likeable, strong front running type that really, you know, leaves his running on the track. But like I said, off 112, I think there could be some more improving types, or certainly better handicapped horses in the race.
Yeah, he started his winning run off 95, so now off a mark of 122, it is quite a hike in the weights, isn't it? So what would you play instead?
I think it's a really good race. You know, I think we'll touch on a few contenders here. Lightning Rod made a real nice reappearance and a strong looking race here at Weatherby off a mark of 120. The handicapper again has raised them 125. That form and his previous runs at the track do set the standard, but again, you know, the handicapper has raised them to 125, and as a 9-year-old, he could be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. I seen Emerald Silk at Carlisle 7 days ago, Mark. I have no doubt this horse will turn out the best of these, but he was nowhere near fit. He's a real likeable type. He wasn't great in his coat. He wasn't fit. You know, he obviously fell at the first and had a close shave later in the race where he nearly jumped into some of his rivals.
Yeah.
it's hard to imagine 8 days on after that mishap. You know, he won't have had a hard time at home. They'll have taken it easy. Again, I think he'll need the run, but one to keep an eye on. He'll win a lot of races this year. I did like him last week. I think the horse that could be the pick of the weight here is Teenage Dream for Brian Ellison. You know, he really found a key to this horse over fences. And he comes here dropping back to hurdles off a £1 higher mark than when he was successful at Cartmel in July. He goes well fresh. He's best held up. He doesn't always find a lot for pressure. Brian's horse is running well. I think he's the pick of the weight for me. You know, the other main contender looks to be Camera Choice, but first time visored last time, and that looked to have a major effect. I wouldn't be too sure that the visor will work again for Camera Choice. He isn't the most straightforward of horses. And I think Teenage Dream's the pick of the weight. Pertwee, £4 higher than when second in this race last year, but he chucked it away on that occasion. He looked to have the race won. He landed in front, jumping the last, but just couldn't see it out. Typical Pertwee. He'll run his race again, I would imagine. But Teenage Dream, the pick of the weights for me in this good-looking handicap hurdle.
It is a good-looking race. Teenage Dream, the selection there then. The 2.15 at Weatherby is one of the listed races on their card. This one is the handicap chase, and it's over 2.5 miles for four-year-olds and older. Eight of them in the lineup for this one. And Trust and Times, I suppose, is relatively interesting. A good third in the Scottish Grand National last time we saw him up at Ayr. He ran well in the Potemps at Cheltenham as well at the festival. So he's a nice type, isn't he, Trust and Times?
He's a classy type, Mark. He's, I think, you know, as he's got older, he's still only an eight-year-old. But he looks to want more of an emphasis on stamina now.
Yeah.
And this 2.5 miles looks to be a good starting point for him to get his season underway. I think you'll find this trip a little bit on the sharp side on his return. But like you said, all horses have to start somewhere. And, you know, Connections will be looking to get a run into him. But fourth to Fingal Bay in the Potemps was a cracking run, and then straight back over fences to finish third in the Scottish National.
Yeah.
He's just a real, real good staying type, is Trust and Times. And, you know, interested to see how he gets on. But I think you'll find a few too quick for him on his comeback run.
Okay. Which ones do you think will be a bit quicker than him then?
Cedar Blur's, he's got quality, hasn't he? He's got class, he travels well, he jumps well.
Another ex-Nichols, you know, one, isn't it?
It is an ex-Paul Nichols horse. He jumped beautifully when we last seen him at Market Raisin in May, but got run out of things off Anquetta on that occasion of all horses. He just doesn't want to put his head down and battle in a finish, which is always the concern. You know, he seems to throw his races away. He needs held up to the very last minute, but he is well handicapped. For that reason, I think I would probably have to just side with Silver Rogue of Fergal O'Brien's, who is probably best fresh. On his return last year, he beat Tahiti Pearl of Sue Smith's by 16 lengths at Sedgefield, which was a real good effort. And, you know, if you take Conor Schumacher's £3 claim here, brings his mark to 139. He's only £7 higher for his return this season. So this looks a good opportunity for him. I'm expecting a little bit better of Off the Ground, who was pulled up on his return to Southwell. I think there's more to come from him for Emma Lavelle, but on the back of that poor effort, you couldn't really be wanting to back him after another 75 days off. So it would have to be Fergal O'Brien, Silver Rock for me here.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, does go well fresh. If you look at every run he's had since coming back from a break, he seems to have won, so, or definitely the last three I'm scrolling through here.
Yeah, he's particularly well fresh, you know, Mark, and I think, you know, there's nothing hiding from the handicap off his current mark, but you just think this is a slightly weaker race than he'll be contesting as the season develops. And Conor Schumacher looks a real good book in reducing his mark to 139. It gives him a real good chance where there's a few question marks hanging over some of his rivals. You know, touching on some of the others, Viva Colonia was most disappointing in the old Roan chase last week. This is a quick return, 6 days on. Shadows Lengthen, you know, again, ran really well in that Goodwood Mirage race over hurdles. But when we last seen him over fences, he was jumping badly out to his right at Market Raisin and looks held by Cedar Blur. So, you know, for me, Mawalashi, Sue Smith, horses have been in bad need of the run so far.
Yeah.
Does Less Than Me has become somewhat of a spring horse. All his best form has come after the turn of the year. So, yeah, Silver Rock, I don't know what kind of price he'll be. 5-6-1 would be right up my street, Mark, and I'd make him the best bet of the three races we've just looked at.
Right, there you go, Silver Rock, the best bet. Let's just have a quick summary of all three of them, though, Craig, before you go.
Yeah, we're going to go back to the opening race on the card, which is due off at 1:10. Be My Present to complete the hat trick for James Hewitt in the 1:40. The horse we like in this handicap hurdle is Brian Ellison's horse, Teenage Dream. And finally, in the 2:15 at Weatherby, is Silver Rock for Fergal O'Brien.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Craig. Good luck with that, and enjoy the action. You'll be back in on Saturday, won't you? So
Looking forward to it, Mark. Thank you.
Good stuff. A good couple of days coming up at Weatherby. Yeah, plenty of good racing to go alongside that as well, and you'll hear it all live on Friday from 12:20 p.m. with Mick Norton and Craig Forsyth in the studio during the afternoon. Stuart Beasley and Sean Quinn will take over in the evening, and we'll be having extended coverage for the Breeders' Cup. Before we get to that, there's Newmarket Uttoxeter and Weatherby in the afternoon, and the usual Friday evening of all-weather fair at Wolverhampton and Dundalk. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.